You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, future of the Patriot Act being debated in the Senate. Debate not so wide. Or I should say, provisions of the Patriot Act. Also on the program today, poor shaming. It's not just for Republican policymakers anymore. And the Run, Warren, Run, Warren campaign seems to be winding down as its energy will move to Bernie Sanders and to specific issues. Meanwhile, Barney Frank has some advice for the president when it comes to the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. Also, more reporting on the black-white disparity when it comes to getting shot when you're unarmed or pulled over when you're driving. And Rand Paul, just when you thought maybe you could appreciate something he did, even as a bank shot, he reminds us why you can't. And the Arizona anti-Muslim activist. Is that really? What? Is that what we're really calling them? Anti-Muslim activists? That guy in Arizona who wants to start his own branch of a hate group is looking to raise money for it on GoFundMe. Apparently, is basically what it comes down to. What are anti-Muslim activists? Why are we calling anti-Muslim activist? Why? Pam Geller's not an anti-Muslim activist.
She's a bigot.
She's a bigot. You know, are we just, I mean, if we need to come up with a word, I guess it just says, like, as opposed to be just sort of passively bigoted, someone who's actually going out there and putting their money, a non-apathetic bigot,
a motivated bigot. I prefer the phrase anti-Jewish activist.
One.
Pardon me.
One who has who's willing to put some effort into it. That's the one thing about those. It's very hard to find non-lazy bigots. All right, let's talk about this because, you know, yesterday in the, I guess it's the fun half. Wasn't terribly fun to talk about this, but there was a story out of that I had just seen, I don't know, a local paper in Queens where 1,000 kids go to this elementary school. They were asked to bring in $10 for a carnival that I guess was put on by the Parents Advisory, the Parents Association. And the carnival took place during school hours, and each class, maybe it was each grade, was allowed to go outside for about 45 minutes, and there was bouncy houses and other type of games, and the kids get like a stuffed animal for participating or something like that. Well, about 100 kids in the school did not bring in the 10 bucks. This is in a school with a high level of kids living in poverty, a lot of recent immigrants who don't necessarily speak English, a lot of Chinese, I guess. So these 100 kids who or so did not bring in $10 from their parents were basically locked in the auditorium when their classmates went to the carnival. I'm not going to get into it, you know, too much more. I spoke about it on the program yesterday. And incidentally, this carnival actually made money for the Parents Association. They actually made money, a couple thousand dollars, I guess. And it's indicative of an attitude in this country. And I don't know if it's been in this country forever. I really don't think it has. But certainly it's been more and more prominent since the Reagan era. And we hear guys like Paul Ryan tell that literally made up story, which he also related incorrectly. It was a made up story that he was told by an official, I believe, from Wisconsin. And he butchered the story, which was fine because it was fictional in the first place. But it was about a child that he supposedly met or had been told about. Elementary school, junior high school kid. And he asked the kid, would you prefer a brown bag lunch as opposed to a free lunch at school? And the kid said, a brown bag lunch. Because that means that there's parents at home who love me. And Paul Ryan took that story to mean that we should not offer kids free lunches at school. But this notion that if you're living in poverty, and we've spoken to people who have traveled the country and written books about people who were hit hard in the wake of the financial crisis or people living in poverty, and there is a failure of these people to see themselves in the context of a larger system that has led to their situation. Inevitably, people blame themselves for their situation. And it may be the case that some people have made some wrong decisions on occasion. But the margin of error in our system is such that if you do make that mistake in deciding, like, I should have gone into this industry as opposed to that industry. I shouldn't have been a graphic designer. I should have been a plumber. There is no point to a society if its citizens are doomed to living in a torturous life in constant struggle because they made that decision 10, 15 years ago. And the idea that people living in poverty are blamed as if they have some type of moral failing. We're bathed in it in this society. We're bathed in it. And a lot of it comes out of this sort of libertarian notion of, like, you know, and it's almost inevitably by people who have succeeded in some way or who have far more margin of error. Because you have obviously a lot less margin of error if you're a woman in our society, if you are a minority in our society, if you're a female minority in our society. But even then, people have far too narrow of a margin of error. And we blame them. You lock kids in an auditorium because their parents either couldn't understand the call for the 10 bucks, didn't have the 10 bucks, or simply even messed up. Just forgot about it because they got their jobs that they're both working and they just, the one thing that slipped their mind was the 10 bucks for the carnival. So you're going to scar these elementary school kids for the rest of their lives? There is no doubt in my mind that some massive percentage of those 100 kids are going to remember that day far further into the future than they remembered their 7th birthday or their 8th birthday or that time that they got that grade on that test. They're going to remember the day that they were in the auditorium, their friends were outside playing in a carnival, and the kids came back with like stuffed animals, like, here. But I mention this because I ran across a promo for this show. And I generally don't talk about TV shows that much. I guess in the better half, occasionally we'll talk about like The Walking Dead or something like that. But I'm not somebody who has a blanket problem with the degradation of our society as visioned through television. Or at the very least, I've gotten over it. Or I'm past it. It was far more torturous for me when I was sort of actively involved in the television business and had to associate myself for a lot of money with stuff that I thought was just sort of brain dead. But this is particularly odious. This isn't just brain dead. I'm now matured to the point where I'm saying, well, live and let live. Brain dead is fine. And I have no problem with like reality shows. I still watch Survivor.
That show is still on the air?
It's still on the air. I like that show a lot. My daughter and I watch it. She likes it. But this is just stunning. I mean, you remember the Hidden Boss one? I think that still may be
Undercover Boss.
Undercover Boss, right? Where the executive sinks down to walk among his people. Right? Like a king who decides to dress up and walk amongst the peasants to understand their lives more. And then he gets a revelation because he meets a virtuous worker, a virtuous peasant, who he then bestows upon him a knighthood and allows him a good place in the castle. And bring your family. Your family will also live in the castle. And forever, you will join us at the feasts. The rest of the peasants, well, they're still going to be living in squalor and are going to be basically cannon fodder if that duke down the road wants to come attack. But you guys will be living in one of the high towers.
Yeah, that show is actually like a competition between like two. Like he has to choose one of two workers to give this promotion to.
Right, of course. It's like, and if that's not offensive enough, here we have CBS coming out with a show called The Briefcase. They have a 3-minute promo, and it's a lot to play on a show like this. But I challenge you, and I don't know how much the images are important to this. I don't think very. I challenge you not to get enraged by this. I challenge you. This is... Well, listen, here it is. Understand, The Briefcase, there's shots at the beginning of, like, I guess CBS, like the hosts walking with the briefcase, and they're going to give these briefcases to these families that they have. So you're going to see, you're going to hear a bunch of clips of families. Hopefully this will translate in audio because this is really, really disturbing. Here, this is the video of this new show. This is a promo of the new show called The Briefcase on CBS, and it is, I find it stunning. Here it is. Let's play it.
What would you do if $101,000 landed on your doorstep?
If I know one thing, that's true. What you say is what you do.
Across America, hardworking families are feeling the impact of rising debts and shrinking paychecks.
Pause it. Now, I like how they have this sort of like uplifting music. Rising debts.
That's what I was thinking.
Struggling with bills.
But that's all right. There's still hope on the way. Don't worry about that. There'll be in the future. I mean, this is, it really is amazing, right? I mean, it really does feel like, I guess, like the Hunger Games or some type of futuristic, or I guess, you know, don't worry about being poor in this life. Because in the next life, you're going to rise up. Continue.
These tough times are testing the human spirit.
Pause it. These tough times are testing the human spirit. Now think about how divorced that sounds from what's going on there. This isn't these people aren't stuck on a raft in the ocean. They're living in society, a society that's set up in a specific way, a society that didn't punish bankers for driving the economy in the ground, a society in which the rights of workers and the encouragement of workers to band together to enrich themselves, to strengthen their financial security is diminished. An era where taxes are nearly at an all-time low in the past 70 years for wealthy. No, these are trying times when the human spirit is tested. Wow, that sounds like a Joseph Conrad novel, except for this is just life.
Series that will make you question what really matters most.
Will these poor people, will these struggling people, not like me, I get paid quite a bit to do this voiceover, actually. Will they find out what really matters most? Continue.
Each week, two deserving families that have been dealt a tough hand.
We are living paycheck to paycheck.
I'm so sick. Deserving families. There's a whole country full of people struggling with debt, trying to make ends meet. They are every day under the strain of knowing whether or not they'll put food on the kids for their tables for their kids. And we just found two families that are deserving of perhaps some consideration of help. In fact, actually, what they're actually deserving is that we're going to put them in the stadium and watch the Tigers rip them apart.
Is struggling.
We'll be given a briefcase with $101,000 inside.
Is this really my money?
No way.
Oh my God, I've never seen so much money in my life.
And it will change their lives forever.
It could really help my family pay a lot of the student loans that we have.
It sets up a house, everything that we've been dreaming for.
Thank you guys so much.
But with the $101,000 comes a life-altering decision.
The money is yours, but there also is a decision.
You can keep all of the money, you can keep some of the money, or you could choose to give all of the money away.
If you decide not to keep it all, what's ever left is going to go help another family who may be in as much need or maybe more than you guys.
What the families don't know is that they were both given a briefcase and are actually contemplating whether to give any money to each other.
There's no way we can give one penny to them.
I'm sorry, this was offered to us.
I'm going to give it all away.
Over the next 72 hours, they'll receive information about each other.
Their total debt is $490,000.
I had a heart attack when I was 38.
We're just a gun-toting, God-fearing Republican family. What would this family think about us?
I do believe that marriage is between one man and one woman.
To help in their decision, they'll secretly visit each other's lives.
He lost his leg in war. What an unselfish act for him to do.
One of their children has autism, which makes it even more difficult.
In the end, both families will be flown to Los Angeles for a shocking reveal.
There's one more thing you need to know.
There are two briefcases.
Both of you were given a briefcase with $100,000 cash and have been deciding on whether to share any money with each other.
Wow.
We want you guys to be a family together.
Through it all, they'll learn that it's not the money, but the journey that will teach them what they value most.
We don't have so much money, but we have so much love.
Stop it. Stop it. Unbelievable. They'll spy on this other family to see if their suffering and their moral fiber makes them deserving of the $100,000. Have they suffered enough? And is their moral fiber tough enough for them to warrant this money? Because money only goes to those who have suffered and are morally virtuous. But in the end, they'll come to realize, as they make millions of dollars for this network, they'll come to realize that there's something more important than money. And that is the sense that they're morally virtuous people. And then we'll give them the money. This is just, it's sick.
I don't really have any material about this. I think it's so grotesque that I don't know. I know that there's a lot of controversy about it and people are calling for it to be pulled. And I actually normally, I never really want anything to be canceled generally. Like, you know, whatever. Put it on. And if you want to, you know.
Let's play the rest of this and see if,
play it out?
See if it, I mean, I just, I don't
it's
even know
sickening.
If I got, I think this is about round
about,
as far as I got in this. But let's hear just like
50 seconds.
They're going to find out what's really. We're going to teach these people. And, you know, they refer to them as middle class, right? I mean, they're in horrible debt. I think one of these families, I think, is like living off of one of their spouses can't work, is living off $15.50 an hour or something. I'm sorry. You know, this is. Just continue.
Faced with the decision to lift your family out of financial hardship.
We just hustled and struggled for the last 20 years. I can take a break from that for a while.
Or to hold a helping hand to another family in need.
Do nice things for people no matter what the outcome is going to be.
What would you do?
If you've got a chance to help somebody, you do it.
You got to give it away.
I made the decision.
I hate you.
I don't owe nobody, but somebody owes me.
Thank you so much. I learned a lot about myself. It's about helping others. You changed our life, you guys.
This is The Briefcase.
You know, the message, I haven't even seen the show. And maybe when I tune into it, I'll be pleasantly surprised where there will be this notice where they will sit down and say, want to remind you that wages for your cohort have been stagnant for 30 years, that when our tax policies were changed under Reagan, we incentivized CEOs and board of directors to cut costs as opposed to sort of investing in the future of this country. When they talked about a $700-800 billion stimulus, half of that was really tax cuts that you couldn't really enjoy because you don't make enough. I mean, I suppose it's possible we could tune into this. That's part of what they're going to teach these people living in financial hardship. And they're going to learn that sometimes it's better to give than to pay off your student loans, unless, of course, you can't really get rid of those in bankruptcy anyways. But sometimes it's better to give than to pay for your diabetes medication until you lose a leg.
Doesn't even seem like a very good idea, even on the basic level. Like, it would be quite obvious what you do. You keep half and give the other half away. You look good. You get fit. You get money you didn't have. It's that simple. Like, why? How do you even have a show out of that?
Well, I don't know about the entertainment value of it. I mean, I guess if, you know, what's the entertainment value of throwing someone in a pit with a tiger? You get to see them ripped apart. I mean, that's what this is about, right? We're just going to watch these people sort of weigh these decisions and struggle with the idea. And really, so their human suffering that they are experiencing because they constantly under stress, under financial stress, because either they didn't have the benefit of being born into a wealthy family, they didn't have the benefit of being born into an environment where they learn finance, they didn't have the benefit of a society where labor is rewarded properly. They didn't have the benefit of living in a society where society helps people out who were born into those situations. Or maybe they had a medical disaster, like a huge percentage of people who end up in bankruptcy. I mean, on and on. And so the idea, the entertainment comes from watching them struggle with how much they struggle and whether or not they will take this relief in the form of this $100,000. Which, incidentally, I don't know. I mean, some of these families probably have hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt if they went to college or medical. $100,000 worth of medical debt? That's not, I imagine statistically it's not, doesn't happen too often, but for those who are in medical debt, it's usually an enormous amount.
I mean, from that promo, it seems like they specifically took people who had medical issues. You have them talking about a guy who lost his leg in the war, a kid with autism.
Of course, you've got
a little person.
Yes, you've got to allow us to have some sympathy for them. Because those are the only types of people who are deserving. Only good people are deserving of this blessing from above. And so basically the lesson that's being projected is be morally righteous, be happy with what you have, and maybe if you play the lottery every day, you might win. That's basically it. You are powerless beyond the idea that someone's going to show up at your door and give you an opportunity to make $100,000 in a briefcase. Really unbelievable. I mean, that's just genuinely sick. Sick. Really sick. All right. Let's transition to what's going on with the Patriot Act right now. And my understanding is that it is being debated in the Senate. Let me catch you up on what has been going on. As you know, I think it was about a month ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. The House passed a reform bill. That reform, maybe it was long ago, that a reform bill called the USA Freedom Act, which basically limited the capacity or the authority of the U.S. to bulk collect information from phone companies and would instead allow that information to be housed at or under the supervision of the phone companies. And through a warrant process, the government could come in and check it, assuming that all of that actually would happen. As I read further into this, there is a sense that the government can more or less work around all of that anyways. So when we talk about the NSA, you know, sort of is on vacation right now, it's not the case. There's multiple other ways of them skinning this cat in terms of the surveillance, and they're using it right now. To the extent that even though people see this USA Freedom Act as weak tea, I'm talking about genuine reform activists, as weak tea, they would rather see that on some level than an expired Patriot Act, or at least these provisions of the Patriot Act, because there is then no sort of like guiding authority. That's my understanding. So the USA Freedom Act heads to the Senate. Mitch McConnell feels that that USA Freedom Act limits the NSA's authority too much. And so what he wants to do is have that fail and have the Senate pass or reauthorize the original Patriot Act. He diddle doddles. Rand Paul takes advantage of it. From everything I've read now, Rand Paul is getting too much credit, and perhaps we gave him too much credit, for stopping the Patriot Act. That was actually, many people are surmising, a sort of a game of chicken that Mitch McConnell was playing. Because now Mitch McConnell is trying to put amendments into the Freedom Act that would essentially make it as conducive to spying as the Patriot Act. Let's put it that way. To weaken the USA Freedom Act. And then the idea would be to send it back to the House, and the House would pass it quickly because they're building up this whole story about how we are unprotected right now. So this was, in many respects, a strategy by McConnell that has gone a little bit awry. Nevertheless, credit where credit's due in terms of Rand Paul, because we're talking about this. And we're talking about it, and it will continue to be something that will be discussed, I think. This for Rand Paul is an opportunity to get him back into the game because he was sort of left on the sidelines of this election. And, you know, we're going to hear Ted Cruz talk about it. This is going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue, which is a positive. So by all accounts, it is expected that we will see something pass the Senate in the next day or two, maybe tomorrow or today. It really is a function of how many amendments McConnell pushes and what the threshold is. Do these need 60 votes, these amendments and whatnot? If a bill comes out of the Senate that waters down the Freedom Act, you can expect it's going to go back to the House and they're going to pass it. So we're actually going to get weaker reform than the weak reform we were already going to get. But I'm hoping, you know, we're going to hear from Bernie Sanders, who's going to be talking about this. And we'll be hearing from it from the right. So at least it's in the conversation a little bit, which is, again, not that it's not that exciting, but it's better than nothing. Reminder that Credo Action. Well, it's true. I mean, I don't
know. I always just think of Walter Block whenever I hear better than nothing at this point.
That's better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
But I do want to say,
might take them an extra 5 minutes to collect all of your data and violate your rights this way. That's better than 5 minutes less.
All right, I want to do a random rush in this freebie show today just to give people a sense of what happens. But I also want to remind you, too, of, and I guess Rand Paul now is going to try and get the, there's 11 pages, maybe 12, of the 9/11 report that's been redacted that Senator Bob Graham, former senator from Florida, has been trying to get released for a long time. And there was a movement to do this a while back. Rand Paul's going to take this up because, again, he needs to get small donors. He needs to build some momentum in this race, and he's stalled out. So good. I like this desperation. I like to see it. I would love to see it across the board because it would get people to push things. Sadly, however, too, this is the other flip side of that desperation. Senator Rand Paul. Oh, wait a second. This is an old one. I like to see that desperation. So Good. I think those 12 pages should also not be redacted. I mean, should... But, all right, yeah, let's do Random Rush. All right, so let's see if he's on right now. We've never done it this early. I mean, I know he's on. You got the thing up?
Yep.
Oh, wait a second. I got to put in the... Bear with me, folks. Bear with me. This is great radio. Okay, let's see if he's on now.
It was this year, though.
Okay, great. All right, folks. It is time for Random Rush. You know what that means. I listen to Rush Limbaugh randomly for 60 seconds, and I respond in 90. It is now 12:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's listen to him. See what he's saying.
A ranking neurologist or psychiatrist or psychology, some noted expert in the field of mental health at Johns Hopkins. I can't remember his name right off the bat. And he's in his 60s, if I remember right. And it was a story about transgenderism. And he, this noted professor and scientist and doctor at Johns Hopkins, was lamenting what culture is doing to transgender people. It was his claim. He just came right out and said it, that we're dealing with mental illness here. We should not be celebrating this. We should not be lionizing this. We should not be encouraging this. These people have a very serious problem. And they need treatment. They need help, not encouragement. I read the story, and I shared it with you here on the program. And it was, I'll tell you what prompted it, was my observation that the next push point for the left was going to be transgender people, because the gay rights movement had shown such success, had borne such fruit, gay marriage, now accepted, it seems, coast to coast, north to...
All right, I went a little long. So obviously, Limbaugh is reacting to Caitlyn Jenner being introduced to us. This is following when Bruce Jenner had that interview with Diane Sawyer, said that at the time that he was going to introduce himself in a big way. Caitlyn Jenner, on the cover of Vanity Fair... And of course, Limbaugh is talking about this, because don't you know the transgender now are coming to get you? But here's the irony, is that why not keep talking about how gay marriage is coming to get you? So Limbaugh's argument is, now that the left has gotten marriage equality, they're going to go and shove transgender down our throats. Yeah, but, I mean, Limbaugh knows that marriage equality is a done deal and that the vast majority of people don't care. They're happy for it. Great. Now people can get married. In 15 years, nobody's going to think about it. So this is as much as anything for Rush Limbaugh an opportunity to scare his minions of, like, there's something really wrong here. I don't frankly know how you get from a guy named Bruce Jenner is now a woman named Caitlyn Jenner to the world falls apart, but I am sure he's working on it right now. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go into the fun half. We'll take your calls, 646-257-3920, 646-3920. And we come back, we get some Mike Huckabee sound, who I guess he was speaking at, I think it was back in February or March, but it's just come out.
the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which is pretty fun stuff. And Glenn Beck, apparently, also. Well, they've got an interesting theory about what's going on in Texas right now with these rainstorms. Yeah, and this is going to play out big in the election. You're going to want to tune into that. Tomorrow on the program, my good buddy Guy Lawson will be here with us. His book, finally, you've heard about this story for a long time. The Stoner Arms Dealers book is coming out. And so you can go pre-order it on Amazon. You can find a link to it at majority.fm. We'll come back. We'll be talking more about the TPP. And, we got a bunch of other stuff. All right. 646-257-3920. Reminder, we're being sponsored by Credo Mobile. You can get that great deal just for a couple more days at credomobile.com/majority report. Also, it's your membership that makes this show possible. Support the program. We give you an extra 50 minutes of content a day, much like we just heard in this first half of this program today. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Folks, people are loving it. They tried it out when it was free shipping. Just Coffee said, we had so many people try it out, we've switched to just free shipping. Use coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Coffee ends up being like cheaper than any of the sort of the premium pound coffee. Get the Majority Report blend. Great gift for your friends. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, the least you can do is buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Give us a review on iTunes. Very helpful. Tell someone to subscribe on iTunes. Also very helpful. We'll be right back after this.